I was thinking this week of the circumstances before us, and I just jotted down a few things I want to share with you for a moment before we come to our text tonight. America lost its way in the early 1900s when the adoption of the RSV and the ASV, both of them deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. America lost its way. America lost its wholesomeness and its God consciousness when it sent God out the door in our schools, and our children no longer bowed their heads to pray to the God of glory. We lost our souls with the legalization of abortion and sodomy. And we lost our minds, literally. We lost our senses this past week. Amen. With the inauguration. Amen. Of Joe Biden. And I won't mention the other. America's in bad shape. We think that this is going to blow over. But I promise you, this will not blow over. I don't know all of the circumstances. I'm still finding out some things. I don't know all the circumstances that deal with the election. It's obvious it was crooked. Amen. America's going to pay for that for years to come if we make it through this at all. It may be that, as I said when Mr. Trump went in the White House, it may be that that was our reprieve and we paid no attention to it. And now we're going to pay the price because we didn't pay attention to it. America is in a mess. We're in such a mess that only God can bring us out of it. Time and time again, Israel had turned to idol gods. America is a worshiper of idols, whether you know that or not. Even many who attend the services on Sunday are idol worshipers. You see, we don't have to have a little golden god in front of us to be an idol worshiper. We can worship our preacher, and that's an idol. We can worship our church. I know people that evidently worship their pews. And America's in a mess. The church is in a mess. But the America got in a mess because the church is in a mess. Amen. It started at the house of God. Come tonight to, this is the 8th sermon on these three words in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and here's where we are, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Those whom God has called. Listen, this thing is getting better all the time. When we get to this last phrase in this verse, we're all going to learn some things. But we're dealing with the attitude of the believer. How we as believers are supposed to react and respond in the world that God has put us in. We're going to have to learn to respond differently than we have in the past, by the way. But we're going to have to learn to be what God would have us be. In order to get this out to our minds, we've been using the alphabet, if you recall. We come tonight to the letter N. The last thing we dealt with was the letter M in meditate. God's children are to meditate. When we come to the letter N, I want to use the word neglect, if I may. Neglect not the gifts of God. Those things that God has given you, do not neglect them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 14, Paul tells this young man of God not to neglect the gift that God has given him. And notice what is said in that verse. By the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, there's something about God's men putting their hands on young men whom God has called. That gives them power. Now, I know and you know that we have no power within ourselves except that is God. But God is so chosen to use this. I remember the men who laid their hands on my head when I was ordained. That's been a number of years ago. I remember those men laying their hands on my head and my shoulder and praying for me. I remember one old gentleman praying and crying, and his tears wetting the shoulder of my coat. You don't forget those things. And I remember how God, in His mercy, put us into the ministry. I've never been a politician. I've never asked the first person for a place to preach. And I've probably preached as much or more so than any man my age in America. God's people need to learn that God has given each of us a gift. Not just the preacher. It's not just me. It's not just Brother Gary. It's not just preachers that you know that God has given gifts. But all of us have a gift. And those gifts that God has given, we do not need to neglect them. I've often said, and I think I can prove it from the Bible, but I'm not going to take time to do it this evening, that when you neglect the gift that God gives you, He'll take it away from you. Remember the parable of the talents? The young man that took his and buried it in the ground, what happened to him? He lost it. But those that began to use their talents, then God increased those. And that's how God works with us. When God gives you a talent, then use it. I don't know how many times I've had folks come to me and say, "Brother Larry, I don't have a talent." But that's not so. If you're God's child, you have a talent. God never births a child into the household of faith that He doesn't give us something we can do within the household to magnify His name. All of us have a place in the church. All of us have something that we can do. Paul equates it to the body and the members of the body. Now, we can get by without some of the members of our body, but we cannot get by as we did beforehand. How many of you have ever hit your finger with a hammer? You can't operate the way you did a few minutes ago, can you? Oh, no. One of the associate pastors that we had with us in Florida, we were building a building, and we were putting the decking on the building. Brother Gary, those nails that we were using were 10.5 inches long. And we were driving them with 3-pound hammers. Now, when we went to the house at night, we didn't want nobody to fuss with us. We just wanted the bed turned down and the fan turned on and let's go to sleep. But we were moving along rather rapidly one day, and he caught his finger with that hammer. I mean, tore it all to pieces. And he got down for a few moments, and he got back up there, and I said, "You don't need to be up here." He said, "Oh, I'm going to be all right." I said, "You're going to hit that finger again." And we hadn't gone 4 minutes, I promise you, and I heard him scream again, and he hit that same finger again. I said, "I guess you'll go to the house now, won't you?" When you hurt yourself, when you hurt one of the members of your body, you can't operate like you did before. When something is hurting, you can't operate like you would if you weren't hurting. Some of us have been through this Wuhan virus. I promise you, you didn't operate like you would otherwise when that mess is on you. So it is imperative that the child of God use the gifts God gives you or He'll take it away from you. It's a crying shame. That churches, I preached to my people for years, whatever God wants us to do, God has somebody in the church that can do it. And God never led us to do anything that He didn't supply someone to do the tasks that need to be done to make it happen. You see, that's the way God puts the church together. The church is not a haphazard outfit. Amen. This is not something that just pops up one day and here we are a church. No, no, no. We are a body. Yes. A body of believers. Yes. And the body of believers has something that we are to accomplish. We had an elderly gentleman in the church in Florida. He was crippled, had been crippled for years. And he kept saying to me, "Brother Larry, I just don't have anything I can do." And I said, "Tell me what you do on a daily basis. Just kind of tell me, starting off when you get up in the morning, what you do." "When I get up, I get my Bible, I read my Bible, and I pray." And I said, "Well, who do you pray for?" He said, "Well, you first." I said, "Bingo. There's what God's given you. Pray for the preacher. Pray, pray." Listen, prayer is the most strengthening thing the church has. God help us to learn to pray again. We're not praying like we ought to. The church needs to reach out again to God and pray for God to do what He's done in the past. Power comes through prayer. We grieve the Holy Ghost because we do not pray. Don't neglect the gift that God's given you. All of us can pray. All of us can pray. Let me just touch this. All of us can give. Now, that doesn't mean that you have dollars to give necessarily, but you can give of your time and the talent that you have. We have the account, if you recall, of the woman who gave the mite. All the others who had much to give came through with the announcement before them. Let me describe this for you. Some of those people that were rather wealthy would come to the temple to give, and they'd have trumpeters before them and people to announce their presence that they were going to give. Now let me ask you something. Is that sick or is that sick? But that's the way they did. And then here comes this dear old lady with just a mite. Let's just call it a penny. And she put that penny into that box. And our Lord said that she had given more than all of those others because she gave all she had. And those others were just giving from the overflow that they had. Do you understand that? We can all give. We can all give, we can all pray, we can all praise. You may not be able to hit a note anywhere in the world, but you can praise Him. Amen. Praise is the utmost importance. And I'm fearful that God's people have forgotten that. We want to complain more than praise. Amen. I think if we would praise more than complain, we'd be far better off. The next letter is O. I'm going to use the word open here. Back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 17. Elisha and his servant are surrounded by an army. And his servant is fearful. He's afraid he's going to die. Afraid the prophet's going to die. And the prophet assured him, "There's more with us than there are with them." And he prayed and said, "God, open his eyes. Open his eyes and let him see." And God opened the eyes of his servant, and he saw the chariots of God encamped around the city. Hey, I've preached so many times since this mess started. Do not live in fear. Do not be fearful. Fear and faith are not the same animal. A fearful foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same leg. God's people need to learn that He is still over all, in charge, 100%. And believe it or not, though it looks otherwise, there's more on our side than there is in this world. Amen. And if it were but one, That's all it takes. Amen. One angel destroyed the whole of the Syrian army in one night. One angel, just one. If we would but open our eyes and see that God Almighty is still in control. It looks like hell is taking over, but I promise you that it cannot happen. Amen. Jesus declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. Open our eyes, Lord, and let us see. Let us see that we are not defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. Let our eyes see the glory of God. Let us look beyond what we're looking at around here. Let our eyes be above the horizon rather than parallel with ourselves. God help us that our eyes might be opened. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, here's a glorious little thought. Pull that up for me, son. But our eyes are to see and our hearts are to feel, and the God of glory. Well, let us see the glory. Look at this now. I lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my strength. Where does it come from? My strength cometh from the Lord. Lift up the eyes and see where our strength comes from. It doesn't come from the world around us. Listen, we're not going to survive by muscles and bombs. We're going to survive by the power of God. There is no power like His power. Open our eyes. I move to the letter P. Patience. Patience is used many times in the Scripture. But I'm only going to use two verses in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36, Paul said to the church, "Ye have need of patience." I wonder if you have any need of patience. Let me tell you something. Probably one of my besetting sins is that I have little patience. I want to see it done. I have a hard time waiting on things to happen. And when I was a younger man, far more so than today, I have learned a little bit that everything can't happen this morning. It may take until afternoon to get some of it done. But patience is something we all have need of. Let me see if I can describe patience for you. Patience is the ability to idle your engine when you're dying to strip your gears. You ever said the red light, somebody pull up beside you, and he revs that engine a little bit. You know what you've got under your hood. And you know that dude is not anything near what you are under the hood. And he revs that thing and you just want to put it all over him. But instead, you just slip it over there in first gear when the light turns green and idle away. Now that's patience. That's patience. Instead of burning the rubber off your tires, just take it easy. Take it easy. Do you need patience? Now be honest with me. Do you need patience? I've never met an individual who would be honest with me that said, "Oh no, I'm patient. I've got plenty of patience." If you tell me you've got plenty of patience, you have another problem. You lie a lot. Oh yeah. And then Paul says, look at this, in chapter number 12, verse number 1 of the book of Hebrews, Paul said, run with patience. Run with patience. Did you hear that? Now wait just a minute. Wait a minute. You'd think walking with patience would be the right thing to do, wouldn't you? But no, we're running a race. And patience is a good running partner. Be patient. You've all heard the story of the turtle and the hare, remember? Remember who won the race? You know what he was running with? Patience. God's people need to learn to run the race with patience. Wait on the Lord. Hey, listen. If God ever gets in a hurry, you'll know about it. But can I tell you, I can find no place in the Bible where God was ever in a hurry. Let me tell you something. You think about this for about a minute and a half. God sent the Lord Jesus into this world. Let him live 33 and a half years. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He lived 30 years and done nothing as far as the ministry is concerned. Now look up here. I'm going to help you a little hard a little bit.
Amen.
Wonder how many people died and went to hell during that 30 years. Hello?
Yeah.
And Jesus only spent three and a half years in his ministry. Do you suppose God's patient? Do you suppose God is in a hurry? Oh, no. Oh, no. God's not in a hurry. He'll do it in his time.
Amen.
And his time alone. You're not going to change God's time clock. Your prayers and Granny's prayers won't change God's time clock. Did you hear that? I want to say that one more time. Your prayers and Granny's prayers are not going to change God's time clock.
Amen.
It'll happen in God's time, on time, every time.
Amen.
Because God's in control. Learn to be patient. Learn to wait on the Lord. One more, the letter Q. Be quick to respond to the Spirit. Far too often, and every one of us have done this, the Holy Ghost will move us to do something. And the first thing we say is, I'll do it the next time.
Amen.
Or let me wait just a little while.
Amen.
Do you know why the sinner goes to hell? He's not quick to respond to the Spirit.
Amen.
And he goes to hell in unbelief. Never will there be a believer in hell.
Amen.
And never will there be an unbeliever in heaven.
Amen.
We're in a world with two kinds of people. Believers and unbelievers.
Amen.
And we're in a world where unbelievers seem to have the utmost power. But be careful, lest you assign too much to the unbeliever.
Amen.
Recognize that God is still in control. Listen, God has not abdicated the throne. God has not put away his power. He has not dropped the scepter. God is still in control. And God knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Amen.
And it's in his plan. In his plan. Now, have you ever run up against anything that you didn't necessarily like that God has done? Let me help you a little bit. And help me too, because I'm wrestling with this thing. But do you realize that Joe Biden would have never gone in the White House had not God allowed it to be so?
Amen.
Now, here's my problem. I'm wondering how that's going to work out for good. But I've been preaching over a year now on this verse. And I do believe that the God of glory is going to turn this to our benefit and to his glory no matter what takes place. Could it be that under this oppression that is coming, that we get called out?
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, don't look for anybody to argue with. I'm not going to argue. If God decides to bring us home during this time, hallelujah.
Amen.
But if God decides to leave us here and for us to go through what this is going to bring about, then it's still God. It's still God. Do you believe Romans 8:28? If you do, you may as well just settle your mind and say, well, I can't do anything about it. God's let it happen. And it's going to turn out for my benefit.
Amen.
And for God's glory.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Far too often, though, we won't listen to what God has to say.
Amen.
The realization of our ears being quick to hear. Does God ever have to say something to you more than one time?
Amen.
He don't have to do that.
Amen.
Do you realize that God could have left Jonah in the belly of the whale God didn't have to speak to Jonah again.
Amen.
Years ago, I was in a meeting in North Carolina preaching with an elderly gentleman that I respected so much so, Brother Joe Parsons. Brother Joe was a mobster. He was in the mob. God saved him.
Amen.
Big old 6 foot, 4.5 inch tall human being. And old Brother Joe would preach. And I've often asked God, God, give me that talent. But Joe began to preach, and the next thing you know, you could feel the breath of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he'd take you right up there and set you down right in the front of Jesus. And far too often, the Holy Ghost would speak. And rather than responding, we'd wait. If there's anything that we ought to be quick about, it's hearing from the Lord. Hearing what the Lord says. And in doing what the Lord says. The Scripture says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides asunder the bone and the marrow. That's pretty sharp, isn't it? Huh? Now, if the Word of God is that quick, that powerful, then should not we be quick to respond to what our Lord says? God help us to be quick in our response. Rather than waiting and waiting and waiting, my brother preached about Lot this morning. Lot just kind of waited around. The angels had told him to leave, but Lot just kind of waited around until they took hold of him and led them out of the city. Oftentimes, we have to be taken hold of and led away from dangers. I pray especially for Bryson and for the girls. And God's led me to pray thusly, Lord, keep them from the evil. The evil. The evil one. And God, keep us all from the evil. Help us to be quick to hear what God says and slow to hear the things of the world. It seems as though the saints of God are far more concerned about the world than they are the world to come.
Amen.
And I get caught up in that sometimes as well. But God brings my mind to that reality. My concern ought to be for the world to come.
Amen.
Rather than the world I'm in.
Amen.
This is but a proving ground. This is just a place for us to go through in order to enjoy the blessings of God's salvation and then to take us out of here and really show us what it's like. God help us to be quick to understand and to hear what He has to say. Let's stand together with our heads bowed for a moment.